Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday.
So exciting. Happy Thursday. Happy snow day. It's really a special day here because it is so snowy. I feel like it's really going to keep flurrying and we're just going to get
walking in a winter wonderland.
Inches of snow here in New York, but we're still in the studio today.
Because yeah, we're getting inches.
We have a lot to do today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm somewhat out of commission. If you're watching on YouTube, I am hiding my face behind my microphone. I'm just a little bit swollen from some nipping and tucking I had done at Dr. Sharon Geezy's office yesterday, and I'm more swollen than I thought I would be, and like it's really hard for me to move my lips. But I'll be fine in a few days. Just I'm sorry if you're watching on YouTube. I would not be offended if you switched to podcast.
Yeah, but I feel like you even sound a little different because of it.
No, my lips are very swollen and it's hard for me to move my lips and enunciate.
Wow. So do you think you'll be talking less today?
Highly unlikely.
Probably not.
A girl can dream.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also unwell. I pulled my back somehow yesterday.
Oh, no.
And it was like starting to hurt in the evening. And then I took a bath. And then when I went to sleep, as I was tossing and turning in the night, like as you do, every single time I was like, rip.
That is textbook.
And when I woke up this morning, usually I have this new ritual where like Brew runs into the room because Popper's just took him out. So he runs in and then I pick him up on the bed and we like hang for 10 minutes.
That sounds so fun.
It's so fun. But I couldn't pick him up because of my back. And he was just like whimpering at the side of the bed, like not knowing what was going on.
Oh, mommy's sick.
It was so sad. So with given all of, like I couldn't even really do my hair, like I just have I feel like Zoolander, I can only really turn to one side.
No, but having your back thrown out is literally like people don't realize it's the most debilitating thing. You can't do anything.
It's really so sad. I was supposed to go to Live Method today, so unfortunately I had to cancel.
So sad. You can't work out.
No, it's a bummer. Like, and I can't, I'm not sad about having to cancel Live Method, honestly. Yeah. But I can't even Peloton, so it's like,
oh no.
Really? Do I make fun of your woes?
Jackie, we were just both making fun of. Please don't turn on me now. We were just both making fun of you not wanting to go to Live Method. You're going to be fine.
Oh my God, she's lying.
Wait. Jackie.
I never said
roll
that.
The tapes. You were just like, I'm not upset about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant before.
You're fucking gaslighting me right now.
I thought you meant before the show. Like, no. You were talking about it, making fun of it.
Oh, shit. Ow. You are gaslighting the shit out of me, and I will not like entertain this.
We are both like immobile. Like,
my lips are killing me. And
you also look like you can't move your neck.
Oh, I'm just wearing a turtleneck, so it looks like I have like a sprain on my neck. But not only that, my forehead is killing me because I got Botox too. And then my chin out of nowhere is sore.
Yeah.
What the hell is my chin sore from?
Well, I'm jealous of all of your cosmetic enhancements because it's like, must be nice to just have something new to look at. That's like sort of getting a haircut, but you just got new lips.
Yeah, I guess like I've gotten so many haircuts this year because I'm just like done with looking at the old raisiny shriveled up version of myself. So I had to take it to the next level and get some new lips and new forehead. And honestly, I'm pretty pleased.
Yeah, it's an exciting endeavor. I look forward to my new forehead. Should be getting one in a few weeks.
It's just like sometimes you need a new forehead. Especially in COVID, like things are so monotonous. It's like, I got to change my forehead.
100%.
Forehead transplant, here I come. Like sometimes you just need a new forehead.
And it's just like an easy thing to change. Yeah. And
people have a big problem with the way we say forehead.
I know.
It's forehead?
I know. And also,
what the hell is that?
I don't know.
Oh God.
It's, oh my God.
Oh God.
I was also talking about like tennis this weekend and I was calling it my forehand. And the person I was talking to was like, my forehand's pretty good. And I'm like, well, my forehand's actually really bad.
No. It's backhand, forehand. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you say forehand, then you have to say forehead.
What the fuck is a forehead? It's a Forehead.
It's a
some people have a five head.
It's a forehead.
And I people comment on it all the time, and it's one of those things like I won't give in.
No, I won't.
I used to say clicker. People gave me shit. Now I say remote. I will not give in. It is forehead.
Yeah, we used to say Rahoni. Now we say Rony.
Like, okay, I'm course correcting all of my enunciation. You will not get me on forehead.
We used to say Majijan, and now we say Majijan still. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. We actually have a lot to talk about today, so I'm going to need you to save your lips.
I mean, my lips. And by the way, whenever I get my lips done, they get really dry. Mm. So I've just been, like, lathering Aquaphor, and so, like, they're a little crusty, too.
No, they look super glossy.
I did put on some of my NYX gloss that went viral on TikTok. Oh, really sweet. Locks in your product.
Very cool.
So, yes, we do have a lot to talk about today because we have the Fast Five stories, but then we have to talk about what was, I believe, in my opinion, one of the best episodes of Real Housewives I've seen in years. Definitely of New Jersey of all time.
Yes, we're talking about Real Housewives of New Jersey. We could have been talking about Salt Lake City, which was also good, but we're talking about New Jersey.
But we're going to recap Jersey and Salt Lake City, and I have a lot of thoughts.
And I just want to give a spoiler for anyone who's, like, waiting to hear what I think about it. I'm Team Jackie.
I am Team Jackie as well, but I do have to reprimand her just a little bit.
I'm Team Jackie, like, 100%.
No, you back her, like, unequivocally.
Not because of a stanhood, like, just because of what I think is right.
No, of course. And I am 100% on her side, too. I just have, like, a small problem with one thing she did.
Yeah, I know. And we will argue about that later.
Yeah.
But I guess without further ado, we could jump right in because we have a very busy day. And so no more dilly-dallying, you know?
Well, just a reminder that tomorrow is Friday and we're going to be recapping our Toast movie of the week, which is Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella starring Brandy and Whitney Houston.
Today is an amazing day to watch a movie.
Yes. And it's on Disney Plus streaming for free. So use a Disney Plus login that doesn't belong to you or that does.
Fabulous. Oh, also, so much of what consumed my day yesterday was my anniversary. Oh, yeah. And I wound up just spending, like, the whole day on my phone watching, like, videos from my wedding.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, on my phone, like, listening to the toast.
Oh, no. That's other days.
Yeah.
But I just was, like, looking for wedding content because I was posting to my stories and then people were sending me more stuff. And it was just, like, so wonderful to relive it all.
Yeah. I actually, we had this conversation on FaceTime because, like, I didn't realize that, like, posting for other people's anniversaries, like, of course you post for someone's birthday, when someone has a celebratory moment. But I didn't know, like, we were, like, as sisters, like, were we required to post?
For anniversaries, no.
Because, like, I have no memory of anyone, like, ever posting for my anniversary.
No, and I definitely didn't. I don't recall posting for Olivia's anniversary. I personally, and I don't even recall, like, you really going so hard for your anniversary. But for me, like, because, like, my wedding was just, like, one of the things that people were really interested
about your brand.
In me, like, I used it as an opportunity to thirst the fuck out. My stories got double the views that they normally do.
We absolutely love to see virtual engagement growth.
Right. So that was just, like, a thirsty moment. So I would just think that, like, anyone else would want to soak up the thirst too.
You know, of course, like, I got a message from a girl, like, what's going on between you and Jackie? Like, you didn't post about her anniversary. And I just want to say, like, it's not like your birthday. Like,
no.
Like, I honestly wanted to message her back and just be like, you have too much time on your hands. But I've learned recently that feeding the trolls is just not a good thing to
really
do.
Really crazy. And you call me and you're like, am I supposed to post? And I was like, honestly, one, I wouldn't have noticed if you didn't. Like, I'm not keeping score. And two, like, no, only if you feel, like, compelled to post. Like, sometimes I post for dumb things because it's just, like, how I look.
Yeah, of course. And, like, every photo that came across my desk yesterday from your wedding, like, had my side part looking so atrocious. Like, so, mom, I need to work on my art. Like, it's not a face, it's a lifestyle. I got your picture. I'm coming with you. Dear Maria, count me in. Like, I literally look like an angsty teenager.
And though.
But at the beginning of the night, like, my hair was fabulous. And, like, with each minute that went by, my side part just got, like, flatter and flatter. And I went, like, from, you know, glamorous supermodel to 90s band rocker superstar.
I can see how that would happen.
So I just didn't feel compelled to share that side part.
Yeah. So,
but I learned a valuable lesson.
Yes, and I think you looked so fabulous, like old Hollywood glamour. I know maybe one day you'll learn to see it, like, you know?
Probably not.
But, like, sometimes it takes years before you can appreciate a look, and sometimes it takes years before you can recognize that it was bad.
Sometimes it also takes years to realize, like, that picture, like, where you thought you looked, like, fat and disgusting, like, was actually the most beautiful you've ever been. 100%. That's, like, my life. Like, looking back on pictures, like, being so unhappy with myself in that moment and now realizing, like, oh my God, like, literally take my arm. I will look like that again.
And that's on having perspective.
That's on 2020 being hindsight. Oh. Wait, no. That's on hindsight being 2020.
Yes, for sure. Okay. Now, without further ado, we can jump into everything because we have so much to talk about, some really exciting news. So here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's sponsor just reminded me that tax season is around the corner. Mm-hmm. So thank you, TurboTax Live, for sponsoring this episode. You are one of a kind, and so are your taxes. That's why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live experts are here to help, giving you the confidence to know that you're one of a kind, unique you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. Thank you.
Love it. Okay, first story, some really happy news. Morgan Stewart gives birth, welcomes her first baby with now husband Jordan McGraw. The Daily Pop and Nightly Pop co-host welcomed her first child, a baby girl named Ro Wrangley McGraw, with her husband Jordan. She announced the news via Instagram on Wednesday, sharing a sweet, sentimental message about her newborn daughter. She said, "Ro Wrangley McGraw just quickly wanted me to update you guys that after 30 hours, 27 apple juices, and 16 pushes later that she decided to join our party. And she's definitely the coolest girl I've ever met."
Oh my god, wait, Ro is like before I knew the kid's name, I'm like, Morgan Stewart is arguably the most fabulous, fashionable, cool, edgy, trendy person I know. And mm-hmm. most people know she's like at the forefront of all things cool. She is a pioneer of style.
Yeah,
everything she does is glamorous, like literally. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what her farts smell like, but they smell like Chanel No. 5, you know what I mean?
100%.
She's that type of girl, very similar to the type of girl that I am.
100%.
And so I knew that whatever name we were going to get, especially for her daughter, would be elegant and trendy and fashionable and classic. And I never would have guessed Ro, but Ro literally exceeded all of my expectations for this child's name.
No, it's a beautiful name. And I also feel like she loves the Ro.
Yeah, of course.
Mary-Kate and Ashley clothing brand. So I just want to like believe that it's a hark back to that.
I think it was definitely like an inspirational element.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful name. The picture that she posted was also so stunning. No, so effortless.
So effortless. Chic. Thank you. Yes, effortless.
Like, stunning. Beautiful, Sunning, smart.
Sickening the hospital down.
Also, Jordan, who's the son of Dr. Phil and Robin McGraw, also took to social media with a precious photo of the newborn. Dr. Phil also gushed, "Congratulations to the most deserving and loving young parents in the world. Robin and I are just thrilled to death and so grateful that mother and baby are healthy, happy, and well."
This is just like such a happy ending for Morgan Stewart, you know?
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, like our generation, really thought like, you know, her and Brendan were like the OTP of it all. But like now that we're adults, as we've all grown up, we're no longer the rich kids of Beverly Hills, we're the rich adults of Beverly Hills. You just realize like, man plans, God laughs. And like, this was how Morgan Stewart's journey was meant to happen. I really believe that.
I believe that too, but also because it is how it happened.
Of course.
So if it's meant to be, it will be.
No, and I just love the name so much, and I'm really excited for Morgan. And just thank you, Morgan, for not disappointing in your elegance. Like, I knew
she
you
never,
would do something glamorous.
She never could.
I know.
Even if she tried. But I agree, and I really look forward to chic baby content.
Yeah, CBS.
CBS,
we'd no,
love
sorry,
to see
CBC.
It. CBC, very true. Our next story is a little more bebe news. Selling Sunset's Christine Quinn
yes!
is pregnant.
Oh my god, I was shocked by this.
I was shocked by this too because, well,
I don't know why. I just was.
I just didn't see this as the next step for her, but I absolutely love it.
No, I love it.
She told People magazine, "We are so grateful to be expecting our first child. I'm so ready for what this next chapter holds and cannot wait to be a mom." She is just like the most fabulous. We absolutely love and stand at the altar of Christine Quinn. Mm-hmm. But she just like is traveling and always like doing magazine shoots. And so I just didn't think the next logical step would be Bebe.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like, you know, on Selling Sunset, there's this kind of competition between her and Heather, because like Heather's so thirsty for fame, like that's what Christine said. Heather's always calling the paparazzi on her and Tariq, whereas like Christine is just like effortlessly, because of Selling Sunset, become this like socialite, like who gets on magazine covers and doesn't have to call the paparazzi. So I just never would have thought, you know, the next step in that would be having a child. But I think it really proves that like Christine is everything of the sort.
Everything of the sort.
I had an inkling, but now I have confirmation.
Oh, I always knew.
I just think it's cool, like at the peak of her fame,
yeah,
she decided to have a baby. Like I think some people might push it off to pursue other opportunities. I know I would.
Yeah.
So I think it's so cool of her.
She said that she's a firm believer in manifesting her dreams. This beautiful pregnancy was manifested. Mm. We knew that we wanted to create a family in 2021, and I envisioned myself pregnant as I did my daily meditations.
No, she's right. You got to start manifesting things that you want. You know, Margot taught me this thing to say when you wake up in the morning, and I actually really, I felt it. It's like this, ready? I don't chase, I attract. What is mine will find me. I don't chase, I attract. And what is mine will find me. I don't chase, I attract. And what is mine will find me. Hmm. Got to say it with a little bit more conviction.
And you say that like when you are like in front of the mirror?
When you're doing your makeup, when you have a moment to yourself before your day starts. Just remind yourself, you don't chase, you attract. Okay. What is yours will fucking find you.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. That's what got me on the New York Times bestsellers list.
I'm not totally moved by that, like, sentiment.
Oh, I was.
But I like the idea of daily manifestation.
I'll find some that I think might be more appropriate to your lifestyle.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, next story, really exciting. The Cruella trailer has dropped, starring Emma Stone. God,
Emma Stone was in my dream.
Oh, what was she doing?
I don't know. I fell on her in a hot puppies? Tub. I fell on her in a hot tub.
Was she going after Theo?
Like, get the fuck off me. And then Tana Mojo was there too. It was weird.
Was she going after Theo because she's Cruella de Vil now?
Pretty much.
Disney's latest live action film, Cruella, starring Emma Stone as a punk rock version of the titular 101 Dalmatians. Can't say titular without feeling like Moira Rose. Mm-hmm. Has debuted its trailer. The film is set to release on May 28th. Stone will portray Cruella de Vil circa the 1970s, and the film will delve into her life prior to her penchant for terrorizing the puppies of London, as was depicted in the 1961 animated original.
Okay, I have two things to say. Mm-hmm. The first is like, maybe I haven't seen 101 Dalmatians in a while, but like, wasn't Cruella de Vil like an ugly old woman, not Emma Stone, a movie star, like gorgeous, most gorgeous woman in the world?
So yeah, they like definitely made her more, you know, edgy in this movie, you know, and she still has the half black, half white mm-hmm. wig, but also this is an origin story. So she didn't get to the part of being
So Cruella. She's not the Dalmatians yet.
She's not the Dalmatians yet. This okay. is like, you know, it's an like Wicked or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to see how she became Cruella.
So did you watch the trailer?
I did. I just watched it while I was sitting here.
Someone on TikTok said the funniest thing, and it's true, because like they're really giving like Cruella to be like the girl boss, like MLM makeover, because like in the trailer, it's like she's like an inspirational, successful woman, you know?
Is she?
Yeah, like you get that vibe from her. It's like, you know, people are putting her down because she's a woman, you know?
Yeah. No, I just don't know how they're going to, like, from what I remember about 101 Dalmatians, like, she's an animal abuser.
I think that's,
like she wants to skin the puppies and wear them.
I think that's the implication, like, the inference, yes.
Right. Like, no, that's the moral of the story, and the puppies need to be saved.
That's kind of dark for a kid's movie.
The story is about the puppies, 101 Dalmatians, and we're trying to watch them get saved from the evil Cruella. She's the villain. So I just don't know how you make an origin story that, like, makes that understandable.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, we will have to see. It looks really good, completely like high budget, great cast, everything of the sort. I just look forward to seeing how they're going to
connect that dot. Yeah, no, that's a good question. Like, are we going to start justifying animal abuse? Because I'm really not down for that today.
Right.
If I wanted to justify animal abuse, I'd just walk a couple blocks of Central Park and take a horse and carriage ride. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to do that, so I won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think this is going to be great. The trailer looks great, and I love a live action film. Like, I really do.
So do I. Can I say something crazy though?
You don't love Emma Stone?
No, she's nice. I don't mind her.
Okay.
I don't love a prequel. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I understand the words that you said. I just disagree.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, right?
I love an origin story of a previously thought of villain, and I'm just waiting for our Gaston origin story.
I'm waiting for our Edward Cullen origin story.
Oh yeah, that sounds amazing.
It doesn't have to be of a villain.
No, but like, it's interesting when it's a villain, because like, just like the Joker,
just like Wicked.
Yes,
you exactly. See how they became look at her, she's wicked.
Right, and now it's like justice for Alphaba.
Yeah. Even though she's a witch.
I just don't feel great about saying justice for Cruella.
Right, that's the
thing. She's literally cruel, Ella.
And I don't think that I could ever really just like stand an animal abuser.
Right. So we'll see what they do with it.
Is it a musical?
Doesn't look like one. Hmm. Yeah, bummer. Ready?
So if you care to find me, look to the western sky. That's like the best prequel ever. I take back what I said about prequels, because Wicked is probably like the best piece of content ever created.
100%.
Everyone deserves a chance to fly. And if I'm flying solo, at least I'm flying free. To those who ground me, take a message back from me. Tell them how I am defying gravity. I'm flying high, defying gravity. I could really go on like all day. So I will. No, I'm kidding.
You should do the Wicked ride on Peloton. Like, really.
I should, actually.
So stunning.
Or I could just like listen to the Wicked soundtrack.
No, it's actually not the same, but okay.
Okay.
Are you ready for our next story?
Like, I guess. I could sing more Wicked.
Because it's like something that we talked about a few weeks ago, and now it's, you know, back on my plate. The Masked Dancer finale was last night.
Oh.
So we talked about the fact that it was happening. Mm-hmm. I guess the show happened.
And do you have some of the other contestants who were on it, like besides the winner?
Maybe if I get down enough in the article. Okay. But do you know who the winner was?
Let me guess. Maddie Ziegler.
No. And I'm going to spoil. Even though these masked shows do such a good job of not spoiling.
I didn't even know it had started airing. Right. They're almost too good at protecting the...
No, but even Masked Singer, which is a huge deal, like it's always in the news, but they never spoil who won, which is actually pretty cool. But for the Masked Dancer, the winner was, spoiler alert, Gabby Douglas. Gymnast.
Cheer?
Gymnast. Gabby Douglas.
Wait.
The gymnast.
The Olympian.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of Gabby Butler, the cheerleader.
From Cheer.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
No.
Oh, Gabby Butler. Wait, no.
Gabby Douglas.
I'm having such a hard time. Gabby Douglas. Yes. Okay. Sorry. That's very interesting.
Yes, she
did
was,
anyone guess her?
I'm not sure. She was dressed as cotton candy and she won last night. She claimed the Diamond Mask Trophy. She said, I love the journey and every single part of the Masked Dancer. I love the fact that it was so mysterious, spooky. And I'm a huge fan of the Masked Singer because me and my family, we love being detectives.
By the way, Gabby Douglas has an amazing Lifetime movie. Or maybe it's not a Lifetime, it's like a Lifetime vibey type of movie because it's like a dramatic recreation of her story.
Yes.
And it's actually really good. I forgot what streaming service it was on.
Apparently her final performance was to The Greatest Showman's This Is Me, and it featured backflips and leaps.
How did she do that in the costume?
She's an Olympian.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm going to be watching that performance.
I really am curious who else was a contestant.
Hmm.
Do you mind Googling that for me?
Yes. Masked Dancer contestants.
Season one. It's a good idea for a show. I mean, when I first heard The Masked Singer was going to be a show, I'm like, my God, we have reached a new low in content. But people seem to really love it. I just don't like that it takes so long to get that sort of gratification, you know?
Yes. Okay, hold on. Wait, I just want to make sure I'm The Masked Dancer.
Masked Dancer.
This is much harder than I thought. Okay. Gabby Douglas was Cotton Candy. The Sloth was Maxim Chermov.
Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. Tulip was Mackenzie Ziegler.
Yeah. So I saw on TikTok people were guessing that it was Mackenzie Ziegler.
Zebra was Oscar De La Hoya. Exotic Bird was Jordan Sparks.
Oh.
Hammerhead, Vinny Guadagnino.
Shut the fuck up.
Cricket, Brian McKnight. Moth, Elizabeth
Smart. I love
Brian
McKnight.
Elizabeth Smart was on The Masked Dancer.
Okay. Okay, I have a question.
How did we not know this? We have to be watching this show.
I thought it was professional dancers or like cheerleaders. No, like,
it's kind of both. It's celebrities who are good dancers, kind of like Masked Singer, but it's also celebrities who can sing who you might have not known can sing.
Right, and Elizabeth Smart can dance.
Apparently.
I have to go watch clips.
The Ice Cube, which is a stage name, Ice Cube, was Bill Nye.
Okay.
And the Disco Ball.
I'm glad I didn't waste my time with this show.
Wait, but this is like an iconic cast.
Who was the Disco Ball?
Ice-T.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I love iced tea.
Right. So that's
very interesting.
That's really interesting. That might be the most interesting thing I've read.
I've heard all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay. Ready for our fifth and final story? A little more TV news.
Already? Our fifth and final?
Yeah. It's actually going to lead into our Real Housewives recap because the Real Housewives of Miami is returning to Peacock.
Yes.
Peacock, NBC Universal Streaming Service, announced that the franchise is returning on the platform on Wednesday during the Television Critics Association press tour. The original Real Housewives of Miami ran from 2011 to 2013. Housewives honcho Andy Cohen will be an executive producer for the show, for which casting is still underway. Sources told Page Six last month that Phil Collins' ex, Oriane Chevy,
and she's crazy,
and Paulina Rubio are being considered for the series.
Who's Paulina Rubio?
Which has been in talks for quite some time. Okay, I just have a question about this. Uh-huh. Like, why this disrespect towards Real Housewives of Miami?
Right, no, it's like, okay, we'll bring you back, but not good enough for cable, like on streaming. I know, there is like this, I guess it just didn't perform well. Like, that must be what it was. Right. And like, even though it feels like everyone wants it back because like on Instagram people, that's not an indication of like the actual audience.
Yeah, I guess so. But like, how could it have performed any worse than some of the, like, or been any worse than some of the other franchises? Like,
no, I mean, that's fair. Like, I honestly, even though I love Real Housewives of Dallas, they have really low ratings.
Yeah. Oh, please. Like, I love it so much. Like, I really hope that it stays.
No, me too. Well. But no, I'm of course happy for, you know, Peacock, but
I hope they get some of the original cast members, not all, but like Lisa Hochstein, like, yeah, if she's not on the show, what are you doing?
I've heard that Leah Black is like not coming back.
That's and
I
fine do by think, me.
Yeah, me too. I just did like the kind of legitimacy she brought to the cast as like a, you know, American icon, almost like the history of her family and yeah, her money.
Yeah, but like I could see it just being different this time, like,
yeah, like younger,
yeah,
fresher.
But Lisa needs to be there, and I feel like she will be there.
Lisa needs to be there. I could live without Joanna Krupa.
Yeah, I don't think she even lives in Miami.
I actually liked Adrian.
Yeah, Adriana.
I liked her, even though she was cuckoo like crazy.
I could go for her again.
Please don't bring me back Karen the dentist. I just
don't think they would.
I just had a really big problem with so many like facets of her life.
What about Marisol?
This is going to be terrible to say, but like honestly, without Mama Elsa, like Marisol's stock like really goes down. But you know who lives in Florida now? Jill Zarin.
Oh, interesting.
That would be, and she's friends with Marisol. So that, okay, I'll take Marisol if they bring me Jill Zarin.
That's not the show I'm envisioning.
I know. No, I love learning and meeting fresh, new, rich women. It's one of my favorite activities. So the more fresh, new, rich women we have, the better.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see what happens. But
like, I don't know how it's going to fit into my schedule, like watching on Peacock.
I completely agree. Like, can I binge watch?
No, and like, where is Peacock? Like, I'm not dumb. I just like, I have a routine, you know? And it's like, weeknights, I'm on cable. Weekends, I'm on Apple TV.
100%.
So to have to go to Apple TV on a weeknight, just well, so I can recap on the toast.
Hopefully someone will hear this and put it on like Sunday night.
Yeah, by the way, like, put it on cable.
Or just put the whole season up together. We can, yes, binge watch.
I like that idea.
I think that would actually be great because like watching, binge watching reality shows like on Netflix has been wonderful, like Selling Sunset.
100% agreed. Now let's dive into our TV recap segment, mm-hmm, which is really what I came here to do today. First up was the premiere of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, which has had a lackluster few seasons, even though I did spend the latter part of yesterday catching up on the end, the tail end of last season and the reunions. And I don't know if I enjoyed it while it was on, but I really enjoyed recapping it. Like, I mean, really enjoyed rewatching it again yesterday. It was actually quite fabulous, and I think the men of the show, and I remember we did say that last season, they bring so much to the show. Entertainment, energy, laughs. I enjoy the men just as much as the women.
Yeah, agreed. It was nice to have them all back.
Yeah, and so everyone pretty much hasn't seen each other because they're living in COVID, and the first event that they get to see each other at is Jackie Goldschneider's husband's 46th birthday party. It's in a parking lot, but Jennifer Aydin doesn't seem to be complaining. It's funny because, like, you know, this is a party Jennifer Aydin, like, would have made fun of, but the bar is so low because everyone's in COVID.
Right.
That Jennifer Aydin has officially, like, been humbled.
Right. She's just happy.
She didn't bring up one thing about the party. Like, it was literally in a restaurant parking lot on the concrete, and there were other people, like, eating outside the tent.
But it actually looked really fun, and what I liked
everyone
about...
everyone was wasted.
But what I liked about watching the parties, like, I feel like at a lot of Housewives parties, it's like they go talk to the woman, have the conversation, go somewhere else. And it was like, the vibes were just, like, going all night long. Like, they were just standing in a circle talking to each other, mm-hmm, the whole night. Like, they're actually friends.
That's the thing. The women are actually friends.
And the husbands.
And the
too.
Husbands.
Like, it was a real party we were watching, not like a staged production, like castmates chatting.
100%. Yeah. You're totally right. A lot of the women had work done, and a lot of them showed up looking so tan, like Dolores, Teresa, and Melissa, like, looked like they just got back from a trip.
Right. Well, it's August. We just discovered, right, that this episode was filmed in August. That's when Evan Goldschneider's birthday is. We, right, did Google it because I really was curious about when they were filming.
Yeah. Dolores looks unbelievable.
Stunning.
And I fucking hate David. I know that he's a doctor, so he's not saying it for any other reason, like, other than medical safety. I just, like, hate when men have an opinion on female plastic surgery. Like, go fuck yourself and, like, get a life. And it bothered me. And Dolores's answer was so unbelievably perfect. She's like, listen, the beauty of this relationship is, like, I don't make you have the commitment I thought I was getting, and I get to live my life how I want to live my life. Like, yeah. That's our agreement. And he got up and walked away because her point was too poignant.
Right. Why does she stay with him?
I don't
what
know.
What does
he
bring
sucks.
To the table other than a quiet house for her son to study?
He go to the library. He sucks.
No, and, like, she has Frank. So what more could you need?
I know. Well, when I was recapping last season earlier yesterday, Frank said, I love Dolores so much and I would love to get back together with her, but, like, I just can't guarantee that I wouldn't cheat on her, and so I would never want to hurt her again. And, like, that's fair. So they can't.
I don't know. Couldn't they have an open relationship? And then, like, she could go do her own thing too.
I know. I don't understand the David of it all either. When do they even see each other? He's never around.
But, like, what does he bring to the table? I don't
Stability?
Know.
Stability?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's so boring. Like,
his house looks nice though.
It's
that's like a funny situation that they have, that, like,
yes.
Dolores and Frank are living together, and
it's David only something is, that would happen on Housewives.
And David is living with their son.
Yeah, right. No, hysterical. But I, like, love Frank and Dolores, and I thought Dolores looked amazing. Like, whatever work
amazing.
She had done, like, need it.
And
need
whatever
it.
Work she had done, sign me up.
The face looked great too. Like, and she
Everything.
Said a lot of stuff on her body, but her face looked tight and delicious.
It looked amazing.
Margaret had her breasts done. Margaret looks great.
Looks amazing.
And okay, so obviously here's what happens at the party. Teresa just, like, randomly starts to bring up this rumor that she pretends she heard when, like, she 100% made it up herself, and she is 100% still holding a grudge. What do we know about Teresa Giudice? No one holds a grudge longer or harder than Teresa Giudice. She's obviously still mad at Jackie, saying, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck, referring to the pictures of Teresa and the 21-year-old guy.
Right. Plus, if you could control your husband, would he be in jail? Which is the fairest question ever asked on Housewives. Like, Jackie is so, I know she's not for everyone, but she's so
reasonable.
Logical. Like, you can't argue with what she's saying.
Yeah.
She makes sense. She speaks facts. Teresa does not.
So that's the thing. That is what we've come to here. So Teresa's running around the party, literally telling anyone who will listen that she heard that
literally Evan's party with Evan's friends there.
It's
it
so
couldn't
disgusting.
Have been bitchier.
You know when Jennifer Aiden is, like, looking down on something you're doing, like, you're doing something incredibly fucked up.
100%.
So, of course, it got back to Evan, not even from anyone on the cast, because Teresa wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Telling everyone she hears he fucks around at the gym. She can't remember who told her. One of her friends told her.
First,
he,
like,
she
does stuff. What do you mean? Does he lift weights or
right.
does he fuck women?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, stuff.
Stuff. Butt stuff? Like, what are you talking about? She literally couldn't keep her facts straight because she said she doesn't know who told her. And then she told Jackie she knows who told her, but she's going to protect that person's
identity.
She couldn't
say.
So I'm just, like, 100% convinced, like, she just made it up.
Right. Or, like, I mean, I think when you are a housewife, people send you rumors all the time about your castmates. Like, even in, like, for us, like, people are always sending us, like, crazy rumors about the people that we talk about.
And, yes.
Like, usually we don't pay mind to it. I'm sure Teresa got maybe, like, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and say she got one Instagram message
right.
with this lie.
Yeah.
But like,
Teresa's
that's
been
not,
in the game long enough to know that that's not a legitimate, credible source.
Not even close. It's not like it was in magazines. Like, Teresa has had rumors about her that have reached much higher levels that she still will not.
And she'll literally kill the women for talking about it, but it's in a magazine.
Crazy.
But it really reminded me of Catherine on Southern Charm saying she heard Cameron's husband's been cheating on her. And in Catherine's defense, I heard that. There were blogs talking about it. There is not a blog. There's
no.
not any sort of evidence that
it didn't
Evan
remind
is,
me of that at all.
No, but see, like, people thought that was so low, but at least Catherine was speaking. There were actual rumors.
Right.
Teresa's talking about these rumors. No one can corroborate these rumors.
No
I haven't
one has
heard,
heard this.
Like, I read blogs. Have you heard anything?
No.
So it's just so unfounded. To do it at his birthday party is so disgusting. And to come for a nice family, it's vile. It really is.
With no evidence. Have one person told you one thing, like, anyone can say anything, and that what that means that we should treat it as
right.
maybe something that's credible.
As fact, like,
what?
So the news gets back to Jackie, and she's, like, devastated, like, beyond words.
That scene of her, like, leaving her house
with her posture. Yes,
and
until it's taking
her
a toll.
Car, like, it
she's
was
just
really
devastated.
Sad.
And I actually, when she said, like, when I had to tell Evan, like, that this was going to be on camera, and, like, people were talking about it, like, he was devastated. Like, it's true. You know, these women, they all sign up for it, but their husbands don't. And in Jersey, the husbands have been, like, a wonderful added bonus. But I have a feeling, like, that will be coming to an end this season because it's just gotten too complicated now. And it's not fair. Like, Evan has a job. He has a company. He has a reputation. And Teresa, just to dump all over that because she felt like it, is so morally corrupt. And I know, and I actually agreed. And some people thought Jackie was being dramatic, like in her demeanor. Like I 100% understood why she felt that way and why she was treating the situation as serious as she was. Like, this is not a game. This is her family. This is her husband. This is not her. She's fair game in the show.
Yeah.
Husbands are not. Husbands have always been off limits.
100%. So it was so wrong on so many levels. Jackie did the most mature thing that she could do and arranged to sit down with Teresa just to talk about it and give Teresa the chance to make it right. Listen, you fucked up. Like, make it right. It's right, that
Jackie
simple.
Said, I don't even need an apology. I just need you to clear the air and say, like, I fully made this up. This is a baseless rumor. Right,
or I have no
it.
Evidence. Like, I just repeated something that I heard. Like, there's no reason to believe that this is
right.
true.
Like, you put it out there. Do your best to clean it up, Teresa.
Jackie sat down and gave Teresa every opportunity to
make it right.
To make it right and to move on from it. Like, she wasn't going to make it a huge deal anymore. Just like, we'll pretend like this didn't happen if you can just make it right and we'll move on. Teresa can't understand logic.
No, it's really frustrating to watch Teresa Giudice because, one, she has the worst quality ever in a housewife, which is unable to see your own wrongdoings, even in the slightest.
This is, like, beyond a housewife who can't see themselves.
No, so it's beyond that, but then it's also a lack of understanding. Like, I don't think she understands what's going on around her at all, anytime.
Right, and so she clearly wasn't understanding what was happening, and so Jackie had to make her understand by giving
her... analogy.
By giving her a taste of her own medicine and saying that her daughter does coke.
No, she said, you saying this rumor is the same as...
No, she said... Well, she said once Teresa would not, like, admit that she just was saying something that she heard based on nothing, she was like, oh, well, then I heard that your daughter does coke in the bathroom at parties.
Right.
I don't know where I heard it. I can't remember, but I heard it. So she's saying, if we can just say anything that we want about people's families, then here you go.
Okay.
That's how that feels.
So I am
and
still
Teresa
firmly on
team... lost her mind.
Lost her mind. I'm still firmly on team Jackie. I just... And I understand her analogy, and she wanted to compare it, and Teresa doesn't have a husband. So there wasn't an analogy she could make that was parallel to that. I just do wish she didn't... And I know she wasn't accusing Gia of actually doing this, but Gia is a child, and I do think husbands are off limits, but kids are even more off limits. And she wasn't accusing her of anything. I just wish she didn't give. Now Teresa's gonna hold on to that for eternity. Like, I just wish she didn't say that.
She tried. She
I know.
Tried to take the high road. She tried every which way.
I know.
Teresa
I know.
Was not understanding. I think maybe this is as close as Teresa it will come to understanding.
But Teresa didn't even understand. She just blew
obviously,
up.
Obviously, bringing kids into anything is
atrocious.
Like, you never want to have to go there. But I feel like Jackie really had no choice. And also on New Jersey Housewives, husbands have been just as protected and off limits. And we couldn't say anything about Joe Giudice mm-hmm. all this time. They've been just as protected and off limits as kids, as family. Like, we don't talk about the husbands. We don't talk about this stuff. Teresa crossed that line. Jackie just met her there.
Yes, but I don't think that husbands and kids are equal.
In the New Jersey franchise, it's just family. It's just grouped as family. Gia is
no, but
over
like,
18.
In the world of, like, ethics, like, kids are just... They're worse. Yes, she is over 18, but she's not a character on the show. Like, she's like, I want to defend Jackie blindly. I do. But I just, even though I understand her logic and I don't think it was like such a crazy thing to say, one, it gives Teresa this thing to latch onto till the end of time. Like, she will never, now it's like she's been so wrong. She won't even acknowledge that she had any part in this fight. So I just want to read something from Brian Moylan's recap that I thought was like really, really well said on vulture.com.
Okay.
Finally, Jackie tries to use logic with Teresa. This will never work. Trying to get logic out of Teresa is like asking a starfish to borrow a pen. Teresa doesn't understand reason or hypocrisy. She can't process that she was hurt when Kim D spread rumors about her, so Jackie might feel the same way about a similar situation. Teresa, like a wounded dog, knows nothing other than what she is feeling at that very moment and reacts to it, often in a malicious way. Jackie makes this mistake again and again and tries to argue with Teresa as if she were a person of average intelligence. Well, if Teresa made up this rumor and won't tell her how she heard it or if it's true, it's the same as Jackie saying, I heard Gia does coke in the bathroom at parties. This is when things go really sideways and Teresa leaves Margaret's collection of multicolored funhouse mirrors yelling the word cunt in, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's true. It's like,
it's
a senseless, it's a pointless thing
okay,
to try and reason with.
100%. So what should she have done?
I don't know.
Ignored her? Like,
no.
This woman, like, thinks that she's at the helm of this show.
No, Jackie's desperate.
No, and, like, I just, if we, if you can't have a conversation with Teresa, if you can't even try to go back and forth, she tried this way, she tried that way, what is Teresa doing on the show?
Right. And so I think it was a really powerful moment when Jackie went over to Margaret's earlier and they said, like, what are we going to do? Like,
yeah, no, I actually wrote down what Jackie said because it really resonated.
It felt like the start of a rebellion.
No, she said, how far do we let a woman like Teresa go? A woman who spreads lies, who is aggressive, mm-hmm. like
they, physically.
And they had all these flashbacks, who just tears everything in her path with, there's no repercussions, there's no remorse, and they just all have to keep moving on. And right. the other women are friends and they can like talk to each other and understand Reason. Each other. And it's like, so to have this person who's just like, I don't know what value an animal. She provides.
That is literally like an insult to Theo, like not even an animal. But also, I was reading things on Twitter.
Like, I'm completely out on her. And I've been taking each and every step out the door at the past few seasons. After last night, I am completely and totally out. I do not think there's, like, a place for her on the show because she does not provide anything other than, like, what's Narcissism. Going on in her own head.
Yeah. And also, I think part of the reason why it would be hard for Teresa to not be on the show, it has to be a production thing. Like, not, you know, the women ice her out, because Dolores will never ice her out. And now that Gia's been brought into it, Melissa's in a really, really tough spot. And Melissa can't turn on Teresa in
right,
any real
way. Right,
but
it seems like Teresa's going to make that really easy for her when she starts spreading rumors about Melissa and the restaurant manager.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. No, it actually looks like it's going to be an unbelievable season.
I agree. But also, I do think it's a production thing. Like, looking at this holistically, being like, I understand that Teresa's been the center of the show given her personal drama for so many years. But that, it has ended there. Like we said last season, I feel bad again this season. And this is, I think, how Jackie feels too. It's like, she's been through so much. She's finally out on the other side and her dad passes away. And
right.
Like, that must have been devastating. I understand, like, she is probably so upset. And I feel so, like, every time Nono comes on the screen, like, I want to cry.
I know. And every time she's at home filming, like, you really see, like, a wonderful side of her, like, with the kids and Nono. Like, I agree.
Right. So it's like, I want to cry when I see him on the screen. How does she feel? Like, but every season, it's a new excuse for,
I know,
atrocious behavior.
Yeah, no, 100%. And to me, it's like, on a much smaller scale, it reminds me of Dorinda. Like, Dorinda became useless to the show when she said such vile, immoral things to people, turkey baster baby, and then also was unable in the slightest to see the error of her own ways. Like, mm-hmm. not even able to take the smallest bit of accountability. Never has said the word sorry in her life. At that point, as a housewife, when you have those two traits, you're pretty much disposable because it's infuriating to watch. And Teresa's been that way for so long, but there's always been, like, a reason to give her a pass. But it does feel like she's gotten too far this time.
Yeah, really. Especially because I thought that the way that Jackie initially handled her right. could not have been...
She didn't ask for a huge apology.
Right.
She just said, admit you made it up, which she totally did.
And admit, like, there's no factual basis for this rumor.
I love Evan. And, like, now I feel like he's not going to
want
to film anymore.
I just want Jackie to know, like, and I think I speak for a lot of people, like, no one believes that your husband is a cheater. He seems like a very decent person.
And, like, a good dad and a good husband. And honestly, like, if this results in Evan, like, not wanting to film and then we get, like, less guys on Jersey, like, I'll be so sad.
Yeah.
Like, please no.
Yeah.
Now Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I was honestly just, like, on such a high from watching Jersey. Salt Lake City seems
like... It took
like
me a minute to get into it.
It seemed like a bad episode. Like,
no, it was actually really good.
Well, I feel like it was really, like, the origin story of Mary Cosby.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like... I mean, everything, every question that's asked of her, everything, like, answer she provides, like, I think she had performed amazingly on the reunion because I feel like she was able to explain so many things that people have questions for her about. I mean, all the stuff about her church, like, is it a cult? And then it was like, well, is Mormonism a cult? And then I'm like, well, is every religion a cult?
Right,
like,
right.
It just, she really, I think, had an answer for most things.
Yeah, to me, there were two major points that I thought were really interesting. One, it does feel like she lied a lot on the show because she said that, like, Mary and... She said Meredith and Lisa said that they're afraid of Jen. When then on the reunion, she's like, no, I felt like they were. Like, she's a liar.
I know, but I feel like if there was exact, if she said that verbatim, they would have just showed it, you know? They
would've... Yeah, no, but she lied. Like, she got caught in a lie.
But, like, maybe we need to watch it back. Maybe she said, I think.
No, she didn't. She did not.
But why didn't they just show it?
Like, show after, what?
Like, roll footage. No, you said this.
No, but by the way, we watched it. She said, Whitney said, specifically clarified, they told you that? Yeah, they called me.
Okay.
She just lied. And then also, she, like, kind of lied about the whole, like, grandfather thing. Like, she made it seem like there was a piece of paper that said, you want this money? Sign here. Get married to Robert Sr. When it seems like the two maybe just, like, fell in love. Like,
no, but they also didn't because she was like, nervous about marrying him. So it is, it was a weird,
it's who told you?
No, I hadn't even thought about, like,
I just assumed that there was, like, she was told before.
Yes, like, there was very clear instructions of what she needed to do to take over for her grandmother. Yeah. And now I'm just like, was there?
Yeah, but I did think the scene where she's, like, crying about how, like, marriage is hard and, like, what they have is good. Like, not every marriage is, like, the greatest love story of our time. And if you find a man who, like, respects you and takes care of you and buys you Chanel, like, sometimes that's good enough. And honestly, I thought that was a really fresh perspective on marriage.
No, like, 100%. All the women were nodding in agreement. Like, I think that...
What's bad?
22 years of marriage. And that's the thing, like, with the... If we had started filming Salt Lake City and she had just, like, got pursued her grandfather, like, of course, it would be, you know... A joke.
Yeah.
But 22 years of marriage is not a joke.
No, and it just felt like she's really tired of, like, having to explain it and defend it. And when she started to cry, like, I actually really felt for her. Like, that's her biggest vulnerability. She's like, of course it's weird she had to fucking marry her step-grandfather. But that's the life that she was born into, this, like, heiress of food chain and restaurants and churches. And I just... I fell for her. She's like, that's her thing. Like, grandfather fell for her. Even on the show. I'm sure that's her thing in real life. And then on the show, it became her thing. And she's just fucking tired of it.
Yeah,
she's
like, everywhere. Yeah, it's weird,
but look, he takes care of me. He's a nice guy.
It's everywhere on social media. Like, I'm sure it's tiresome for her. And also, I did appreciate, again, how she explained, like, no, I don't get all my designer things from my congregation.
Right.
Like, we have family businesses and this and that, because I think a lot of people, you know, they heard
they see her being a leader of a church and then literally having extra rooms full of Balmain and Chanel bags
and, like, having seven homes, and then you hear that audio where she's like, it sounds like she's condemning them for not giving enough, but it turns out she's just referencing,
quoting a passage,
right? So I think that she I think that she was able to explain some of that serious confusion around her lifestyle.
But I don't think that we got any clarity and possibly even more offensive and weird comments from the conversation about 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And it turned into a weird conversation that was like colorism, basically saying she likes white guys, but she's married to a black guy, but she only likes her husband because he's light-skinned. Now, I'm obviously not an expert on colorism, but I did feel like that was, like, offensive.
Yeah.
And then she, like, tried to, like, backtrack and, like, clear it up. And I think everyone was just, like, looking at her, like, incredibly confused.
Yeah. I think everyone was incredibly confused.
Andy as well.
Yeah.
He was like, so you like white guys, but your husband's black.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that's so Mary, you know? Like, she's just, like, all over the place. And I don't even know what she's saying half the time. But I really think, and I don't even know where, I just feel like she comes from a good place. I don't know.
I agree. I
think there's something really, like, innocent about her.
I really agree. And I think she comes from a good place.
But she's confusing.
Extremely.
Now, the other half of the episode was literally Heather versus Lisa. Like, so hard. Mostly off camera. Like, and no one was even there.
Things got crazy. I mean, obviously, Heather's the queen of the show. Like, we have no choice but to stand. But I feel like Lisa is being, like, somehow, I think, obviously, like, she's responsible for the way that she treated Heather. I could even feel her condescension coming through the show. Like,
and Whitney,
she thought that she was better than Heather and Whitney. Now, she, after the show has aired, like, America told her that she's not any better.
And it's really interesting to find out that, like, Lisa was involved in casting. 100%.
Lisa tried to explain so many times how that happened, and, like, no one let her, and then they moved on. And, like, I was ready for that story.
No, I don't care about the story.
No, to explain how she nominated Heather for the show, but then also said that she doesn't know her.
To not know her.
She was about to pull up receipts and tell us, and we never got that.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting, and I think that getting the vibe that she thinks she's better than everyone, and then also now finding out that she was part of casting, of course she thought she was better than everyone. She thought that this was her show.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that she not only thought that this was her show and thought she was going to become America's sweetheart, and not only did she not, the girl that she hates the most became America's sweetheart, Rihanna messaging Heather on Instagram, and Lisa was, I think, universally disliked, it kills her. Like, it literally kills her. And she showed up to this reunion knowing that she's not going to be most liked, but she's going to be memorable. Because honestly, before this reunion, I could barely tell her and Meredith apart, you know?
Yeah, no, she came out so strong in the reunions, especially last night. And I'm like, first of all, this is a personality that we've never seen of hers. Like, at least it's interesting.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there's something she's trying to, like, tell us, and we're not understanding.
Well, I feel like there's a few things happening. The first is that a lot of the women are very confused how Lisa and Jen Shah have this alliance. And what is it serving? Like, how did we get here?
But
because
also,
the two have never,
like,
been friends.
Heather is completely turned against Jen Shah. Like, she's like, no one can be her friend.
I mean,
and if you are her friend, I don't understand you either.
If you watch a show, like, I'm sure to experience it was one thing, and then to rewatch it is like, wow, why would Heather literally ever be friends with Jen Shah?
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, so delusional. And I do think that Jen Shah has come down to earth a little bit on the reunion, and she's owning her shit, and I'm glad her and Mary got back together. Not got back together, but reconciled. But the other thing is, like, Heather's now looking at this, like, at a glance. Like, I agree with Heather. Like, why is Meredith not more angry at Lisa for being so buddy-buddy with Jen when Jen was the one who put all of Meredith's marriage stuff out on the table for everyone to talk about?
Yeah.
Like, I would be mad, too. They're supposed to be best friends, but now you're all buddy-buddy defending a girl who literally tried to ruin my marriage?
Yeah.
Heather's right.
But yeah, Meredith doesn't appear.
Yeah, Meredith doesn't appear to give a shit.
Right. That's just not her.
Yeah.
Everyone's different.
I just,
but the way that they were, like, so heated angry was just, like, so crazy to me.
But, like, I honestly, like, I agree with Heather. Like, Heather this entire season, like, did her best to, like, be friends with Lisa. And, like, Lisa was just, like, condescending to her and Whitney so much. Like, didn't feel like they were good enough to be on the show. Not good enough to be Lisa's friend. She's throwing her party in her yurt and doesn't invite Heather, who literally owns a $20 million business. Like, okay, whatever. So now it's, like, now that they're their union, they're kind of on equal playing fields. Heather's not interested. Like, you wouldn't give me the time of day when you thought I was beneath you. But now that I am the hero of this show, you think you can talk to me now. Go fuck yourself. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I just, what's interesting, yes, that's how we landed where we are. But I would have expected Lisa, given what we saw of her this season, to, like, sort of be a little ass kissy reunion. And instead, she's ferocious. Claws,
yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, she's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Like, still Team Heather, obviously, but there's more to Lisa Barlow than we've seen.
I'm saying
it might take us a few seasons to really see her personality. And maybe, this is what I said last week, we might wind up standing. I have no idea.
Yeah, she definitely didn't have a good first season.
No. She tried to play it. Like, she thought that she could control how she would come off. I think she
learned the other women.
I think she learned that you can't ever do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's impossible. And I think next season she'll just be more herself. And it seems like who she really is more interesting than who she was pretending to be.
Impossible. Impossible. Speaking of impossible, don't forget to watch our Toast Movie of the Week, which is Cinderella starring Brandy and Whitney Houston, available to stream on Disney Plus.
Yes, very exciting. Can't wait. I think that's our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot to do, and we shall see you tomorrow. Thank you for Friday. Oh my goodness, so excited.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, so on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing day, you guys. We'll see you tomorrow for Friday.
Bye.